From First Presbyterian Church of Chattanooga, here's Dr. Michael Milton.
Do you know about the blessings that God brings from your relationship with Him through Jesus Christ? If you've got that, my beloved, what a tremendous power is there at work in your life. I pray single moms hear this. I pray military wives will hear this. I pray the parent of a prodigal hears this. I pray the sick hear this. I pray you hear this. King Jesus has pity on His beloved ones, and He has made provision so that anything that comes against you, He will turn to make it work for you. If Jesus Christ, if you've got Him, you've got everything.
The Bible declares faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. Welcome to Faith for Living with Dr. Michael Milton, the radio outreach ministry of First Presbyterian Church of Chattanooga, a ministry with one great passion and belief, that faith comes from proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ as found in God's Word, and that faith in Jesus Christ is faith for living. This week, Dr. Milton brings to us the second part of a message entitled, Reconciled and Rejoicing, the Bounty of Faith in the Believer's Heart. As we continue our series, A Word from Another World, Messages from Romans. You might be inclined to welcome friends and relatives into your home and turn away those who are hostile towards you. But God offers reconciliation and fellowship to those who are His enemies and welcomes every sinner who comes to Him through His Son. Do you rejoice in the knowledge that you have been reconciled to God on the basis of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible text for today's broadcast is from Romans 5, verses 1 through 11. Here again is Dr. Mike Milton with today's message entitled, Reconciled and Rejoicing, the Bounty of Faith in the Believer's Heart, Part 2.
Let us hear the word of the Lord. Chapter 5 of Romans, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by His life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the word of the Lord will endure forever. Well, what I want to show you this morning in Romans 5, verses 1 through 11, King Jesus' bounty of blessings in the life of the believer. And first thing I want to do is look at the contents of this bounty. I want to go into the treasury and see what is there with you as we turn to God's Word. And the first thing that we see popping right out in verse 1 is that justification, which Paul's been talking about in chapters 1 through 4, the need for it, the nature of it, the justification leads to peace with God, a peace that endures. And if you will only pray, God will give you that peace. He'll give you that peace in the middle of the storm you're going through. It's a peace that comes from relationship. It's a peace that comes from love. The second thing in the bounty of blessing, not only peace with God, but perseverance in grace. What we learn here is that it is grace that brings you into the kingdom of God. By grace are you saved through faith. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. You know you're saved by grace. Do you know that you are kept by grace in God's care? Grace is a new way that God looks at you and accepts you. What else does this mean? It means that the grace that you have received is the grace that you're going to have to share with others. The ethical outcome of Paul's teaching is always in our relationship, the horizontal relationship with each other. If you know that grace, then you're able to look upon those who don't have it with love. So that's part of the bounty of King Jesus. Peace with God, perseverance in grace, and joy in the journey. Boy, do I love this. Look at verse 3. More than that, Paul is just amazing. He loves this phrase, more than that. Look at verse 11, more than that. He's just so excited. He's just building on one thing after another. It's why some commentaries, some who were trying to teach these passages say that there's so many things going on. It's like a firework of a practical doctrine being taught in chapter 5. But John Murray of Westminster Seminary said it's really all summed up in blessing. Blessing upon blessing. Justification, coming by faith to Almighty God and having your sins forgiven, entering into a new life. It's just blessing upon blessing. More than that, Paul says. And then he begins to describe a process that if I wasn't a believer this morning, I'd trust in Jesus Christ just so I could get this, what Paul describes. Knowing how vicious life is, knowing that the enemies that we can face in life, both real and circumstantial, I would cling to Jesus Christ this morning if only for verses 3 and 4. I'd prostrate myself before God and say, God, let this power which is at work in the universe now flow through me. Look at this passage. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings. Knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. That means that every situation that comes against you, through King Jesus, He reshapes it, and the thing that would destroy you and hurt you, He causes to be a blessing to you. Now that's power. That's power. That's power at work in the life of the believer. What a blessing. What are you facing this morning? The very thing that you're facing and struggling with this morning in the hands of this loving God is the thing that God is going to use to work endurance in your life. That is, He's going to test you with it. But you're going to be proven. Jesus doesn't fail. You're going to be proven. You're going to be like silver and gold coming out of the fire. You say, Mike, you're just going around like a clown saying, be happy and it's going to be okay. Hang in there, buddy. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying because of the victory of Jesus Christ, I know that you're going to endure. You're going to go through it because Christ went through it and you are His. You're His child and He loves you. Nothing will stand against you. Every enemy's power now becomes combustion to move you towards heaven and closer to Jesus. And that endurance is going to begin to shape you as an individual. It's going to shape your character. I was on military duty recently, and this colonel looked out across
an audience about the size of this one. And we all had green uniforms on. And he said, how many here have been to Iraq or Afghanistan? And I'm telling you, most of the hands went up. Most of them went up. He said, how many of you are the same people today that you were when you got your mobilization order to go there? How many are just the same as you were before? Please raise your hand. No one. Why? Because they had gone through something that is life-changing. And how much more, if you are in Christ, as you go through suffering in this life, how much more will God work it for good, turn it to gold, make it a blessing in your life? Joy in the journey. Suffering brings endurance. Endurance brings character. And that just leads to hope. There is, speaking of the military, military loves acronyms. And there's one acronym that many of us know, at least now, in the military. It's called TMF. TMF, and it stands for Total Muscle Failure. And it's what drill sergeants like to use in training troops. It has not worked well on their doughy chaplain. But the idea is that they will work you 5 days a week with those push-ups and those sit-ups and that running. They will work you to TMF. Some of the young guys, 18 years old, they'll be running. They'll say, Sergeant, I think I'm already at TMF. I need to stop. He said, you're not there yet. Keep running. And the idea is that total muscle failure, and then give him a little time to rest, and then go after it again next week, actually strengthens the body. Actually makes you faster. Actually makes you stronger. You've all heard it, that which doesn't kill you makes you stronger. That's their idea. But it works, and it's the power at work in the life of the believer. You see, it says, rejoice in our sufferings. Peter told his hearers to rejoice when they suffered. Paul says, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. James says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. And Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn. I've taken some other acronyms. TEF, total emotional failure. But in Christ, it is not over. And God will bring you through it, endurance, character, hope. TBF, total business failure. But if Christ is in it, it's not over. Endurance, character, and hope will follow. Or even TPF. Total physical failure. But if Jesus Christ, if you've got Him, you've got everything. And even if you have total physical failure and there's no comeback, and you go home to be with the Lord, God's going to raise your body again from the dead. You see, that power is at work in the universe. That is the greatest power. Do you have that power this morning at work for you? It only comes through one way, justification by faith. It's why I asked Karen, do you know about justification, and do you know about the blessings that God brings from your relationship with Him through Jesus Christ? If you've got that, my beloved, what a tremendous power is there at work in your life. I pray single moms hear this. I pray military wives will hear this. I pray the parent of a prodigal hears this. I pray the sick hear this. I pray you hear this. King Jesus has pity on His beloved ones, and He has made provision so that anything that comes against you, He will turn to make it work for you. Now, what is the conduit for the bounty of blessing? How do we get it? Is there an application form? Well, it's trusting in Christ. But specifically here, the Apostle Paul, who's already dealt with that, is now saying, let me tell you what happens. When you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ,
You're justified, declared righteous before God, and a bounty of blessings is opened up to you. And here's how it's going to come. Verse 5. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And you say, but I'm a Presbyterian and I don't talk about the Holy Spirit. You should. And the truth is, we do. Because the Holy Spirit is God who comes to you to apply and give to you all the blessings of the cross. It's like there are all these tremendous blessings that are flowing. Peace with God and perseverance by grace, joy in the journey. And how does all of that come to you? It comes to you because the love of God pours into your heart through the Holy Spirit. Some of you have heard me tell this story, but I want to share it with you because I'll never forget it. I was to preach. I went to school in Wales for about 5 years, a part-time student, back and forth across the pond. And I would always preach there and certain numerous churches, and one church in particular in Gorsainan, Wales, on the beautiful Gower Peninsula near Mumbles and near Swansea. It was this little church there, and Mr. Cox was the eccentric Welsh preacher there, sort of Dylan Thomas sort of figure, very poetic and very dramatic, as many Welshmen are. And so I was to preach at 6 o'clock, and I showed up, and we came and we looked through the windows, kind of like we have windows in our door, the narthex, entering the sanctuary. And he says, would you like to see your congregation this evening? I said, yes, I would. I'd like to see how many people are going to show up. And there wasn't a soul in there. So I opened the door and kind of stretched my neck to just make sure maybe they just weren't huddled in a corner. And there was not a soul there. And he was grinning. He just that kind of guy. Just grinning. He says, oh, no one's there, Mr. Milton? I said, no one's there. He said, let me tell you why they're not there. I said, well, it's 10 minutes to 6, so no one's here. He said, well, I'll tell you why. He said, because in 1968, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, a medical doctor, he became a minister and was at Westminster Chapel for many years in London. He would preach all over. He was an evangelist, first and foremost. And he said that he came here, and he came at about 10 minutes to 6, and he looked in there, and it was absolutely packed. And he said, there's no way I'll preach in this church. He said, Dr. Lloyd-Jones, they've come from all the valleys to hear you, to hear the famous Dr. Lloyd-Jones. He says, I'll not preach unless I know they've prayed. And he said, I went in there and cleared them out. And I said, go to the basement and we're going to have a prayer meeting. And then we'll come back and then we'll have a service. He said, ever since then, we've been praying before the evening worship service. Would you like to see your congregation, Mr. Milton? I said, yes, please. And we descended the concrete steps, and I could hear it about halfway in the corridor going down. Oh, Lord, bless Mr. Milton so that we hear your word tonight. Lord, send your Holy Spirit, oh, Mr. Milton. Lord, come down. Holy Spirit, move upon Mr. Milton. That my lost son will be saved tonight. Lord, move upon our service and our singing tonight, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, come down. Over and over and over again, I heard this. And that was a great service that night for me. You say, well, I'll take that. I'll take that in my life. Well, then pray that Almighty God would come down in your life and anoint you and bless you. Anoint the services of this church so that God speaks to you. Anoints your family prayers so that God converts your children. Blesses your heart and mind so that your wounds are healed. Because the love of God, all summed up here in this bounty of blessing, is poured out through the
presence and power of the Holy Spirit who proceeds from the Father and the Son, and who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, one God, now and forevermore. Amen. Well, what does it look like?
His name is Scotty Smiley. Scotty and his wife Tiffany, just two of the loveliest people you could ever meet in person, in looks, in every way. Scotty graduated from West Point. He was shipped out to Iraq. I heard his story recently. Maybe some of you have heard it. While he was in Iraq, he was at a checkpoint, and he was commanding a little company there. And at this checkpoint, a car came up and rolled, and they told them to halt, and they were looking for suspected terrorists who were in the area. And the car didn't stop. It kept rolling. And Lieutenant Smiley was in a tank, and he stuck his head out to give a command to his men to do what was necessary to stop that vehicle. And about that time, it exploded. It was rigged to detonate. And white-hot shrapnel flew into the eyes of Scotty and burned his eyes out, and it lodged in his brain, a piece of that shrapnel. 3:45 in the morning, Tiffany got a call from Scotty's commander and said, "He's been hurt. I want to come." "You can't come." Can you imagine being a wife and hearing that? And the commander lovingly says, "You just got to wait." And she began to pray. Well, he came back. He went to Walter Reed, and it was a unforgettable day when his brother read the order for the Purple Heart, and a two-star general that I was with very recently came and placed that Purple Heart on Scotty, whose eyes were gone and who looked out into darkness. There was a picture made that day, and it was of his wife, Mrs. Smiley, smiling into the camera and gazing as if she was looking for the both of them, as if, "This is not going to stop us." I loved the picture that I also saw with his two babies. And he was smiling into his recovery, getting stronger. The paralysis gone. He'll never see again. Maybe you can meet Scotty Smiley sometime. You'll have to hurry. He's at Duke University. He goes to school in an Army uniform. He has been promoted to captain. He is studying for an MBA in leadership. And the United States Army has said, "Retain your commission, stay in the Army, but will you come to West Point and teach leadership to our young cadets?" Do you think he's got anything to say? Well, here's what he says. Listen. Here's his quote. "Know that Jesus Christ is watching every moment and every second. He knows every thought that goes through your head. He's in control, and He has a plan for you." That's from a blind Army captain. And here's Tiffany's testimony. "Jesus Christ is real, and His promises are real. You can trust Him. Whatever trial, whatever suffering, He's there. He'll see you through. He's not going to forget about you in the middle of it." She's speaking from testimony, from personal experience. "He won't forget about you. He will see you through it." Peace with God. Perseverance in grace, joy in the journey. How? The Holy Spirit given to them. Why? One reason. God's love and His Son's glory. The King's bounty is now open for all who need it. And you have access to it by grace.
We are all sinners and deserve nothing from God except everlasting condemnation. But He offers reconciliation and redemption to anyone who comes to Christ in repentance and faith. Well, Mike Milton joins us in the studio right now. Dr. Milton, Romans chapter 5 speaks of rejoicing in suffering. Why do you think that the Roman Christians were suffering?
Well, the Roman Christians were suffering, first of all, because of bad teaching. Wherever there's bad teaching, there's suffering. Even if there is unity in bad teaching and we're all believing the same wrong thing, because that thing is wrong and it's not truth, there is, as a result, going to follow bad things. So they were suffering because of bad teaching. In their case, the bad teaching had also caused division because some were actually preaching the truth. And so there was suffering because of division in the church. They were suffering because they were not fulfilling God's purposes in the world, and their squabbles had caused them to focus inward. And so they were suffering because they were not obedient to fulfill the Great Commission. Their suffering also surely included the beginnings of persecution. The great persecution did not start until AD 64 in the fire, which Nero blamed on the Christians. But surely already there was suffering and going on as a result of Christians not giving worship to Roman idolatry, and that is to Caesar worship. So all of those things constituted suffering. And then again, Roman Christians were just like any of us. They were suffering because of troubles and pain in their family, because of death, because of the common tribulations that come upon all human beings. So a variety of reasons led to their suffering.
Well, thank you, Dr. Milton. Now, if you'd like an audio copy of today's message, be sure to call or write and ask for Reconciled and Rejoicing, The Bounty of Faith in the Believer's Heart. Write to us at Faith for Living, 554 Macaulay Avenue, Chattanooga, Tennessee, 37402. Or call us at 423-648-7914. That's 423-648-7914. You can also hear today's teaching on our website at faithforliving.net. This program is also available for downloading onto your iPod through iTunes.com. Faith for Living with Mike Milton is an outreach ministry of First Presbyterian Church of Chattanooga. With a passion for God's Word, a heart for God's world, and a commitment to God's grace, our mission is to gather and grow strong disciples of Christ to be sent forth to make new disciples. To learn more about the ministry, visit us on the web at faithforliving.net or call 423-267-1206. That's 423-267-1206. Now until next time, on behalf of Mike Milton and First Presbyterian Church of Chattanooga, may you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ with a living faith and a faith for living. I'm Dan Parker, and this has been a presentation of First Presbyterian Church of Chattanooga.